Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at RocketMortgage.com/Android. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 379, recorded on Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I am Ron Richards.
And I am Florence Ion.
And because somebody wrote in to say, hey, you guys always talk and then you invite the guest in and it's really awkward, I'm going to invite the guest in right now and then we're going to talk about our awesome week. Ann Pruitt, returning to the show. It's been long overdue, techrepublic.com, and so many other things. How you doing, Ann?
I am unbelievable as always. What about you?
Doing okay. We're hyped up on sugar. We had some thins. You'll have to stay tuned to the end of the episode to find what Oreos we ate this week.
And what kind of kombucha I drank them with.
And possibly what the next version of Android might actually stand
for.
Because we might have a clue at the end of this show.
Foreshadowing. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. But, Ann, so you've been spending a lot of time lately, not necessarily specifically in the Android world, but you've been doing a lot of stuff with drone photography. Tell us a little bit about that.
Drone photography and smartphone photography, DSLR photography, just snapping photos and just trying to create some awesome and thought-provoking compositions as best I can. And I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and you get to write about it and all that kind of stuff. It's nice when you can take the thing that you love and then, you know, become like an authority on that. And, you know, and somebody's willing to kind of give you the platform to do that.
You mean like us?
I suppose so. Explain this photo. What are we looking at right here?
I know that picture.
Yeah.
What are we looking at? Downtown San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
You Carl the Fog rolling in, about to engulf everybody.
Yeah. There's some good dynamic range going on in this picture.
And that was actually shot with a Nexus 6.
What?
Okay.
Are you serious?
I liked the photos from the Nexus 6. I may be in the minority
on
that.
Serious?
Yes, I did. With the HDR Plus, it was slow, but I got really great pictures out of it.
Nexus 6 and then those two lights on the upper left, that's with the Pixel.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Uh-huh.
I believe that. Look at that detail.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of fun with it, and I try to share what I learn and my experiences with people that read my work and watch my videos and all that good stuff. It's pretty fun, and I'm pretty fortunate to be able to do it.
Right on.
I mean, the best camera you have is the one that you have on you.
Hey, isn't that the truth?
You know it.
I think I've mentioned on the show before, but a few years back, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I bought for my wife for Christmas this like mirrored DSLR camera. You know, she had mentioned like, I really want a really nice camera so that when we do things with the kids, we can, you know, get photos, whatever.
Sure.
And it's just sat, you know, on the you know, stand.
Who has the time?
Never gets used because, yeah, like you said, the best camera you have is the one you have on you, and you have to really make a concerted effort to like take that DSLR out.
And most of them
out.
Are water resistant now.
Most of the DSLRs are?
No, the smartphones.
Oh, the smart. Well, yeah, that's true.
And
right.
The GPS trackers and their mirrors.
Yeah. Bleak saying, put it near the door and force yourself to take it. That doesn't make it any less cumbersome when you've got it out.
Recharging a battery for another product?
No, there's no excuse, you know?
No excuse. All right, show us why.
Bag of tricks.
That's all?
Yeah, that's the bag that everybody raves about on social media that, like, carries all the stuff.
Everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go. You know, if I'm going to the grocery store, if I'm going to the ABC store to pick up some whiskey, I have my bag in there. I even have my drone with me most of the time.
And then you see something really cool and you want to take a picture of it really quick. How fast can you get to the camera in the bag, have it set up, and take the picture that you needed? Like, are you as fast with that as I would be, like, reaching in my pocket for the smartphone camera?
Fortunately, with that particular bag, it's really fast because it's a magnetic clip, and I just pull it open and it's right there within a second or two.
That was a fantastic
shot
right there.
Yeah, what was that?
Thank you. Yeah. That's with the drone that, there.
That's a great
I was gonna
shot.
Say Flo, that's the freeway.
Yes.
That's planet Earth.
That's amazing. That drone photography stuff is, I have a couple of friends who are into that stuff, and you just get some amazing perspectives that you never really see, you know, like to see it from that angle. So cool.
Totally. I mean, you know, back not very long ago, you needed like a complex crane or a very expensive airplane to hang out of in order to do any of this stuff.
Remember when they used to do helicopter views for movies?
And now everybody can just like fly a little drone around and take these great shots and great tracking shots that just look cinematic and Hollywood, and it's cool.
Well, so speaking of bags, can I show off my bag?
Oh yeah, what's in your bag?
Well, because I don't everyone knows, but like a few months ago, I got the wonderful bag, the OnePlus bag.
A while ago.
It's a good bag.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? There's the OnePlus logo. It's actually a great bag, and it's got a nice little slot for your laptop. I don't know how quickly I can get a camera out of this thing, but it's a pretty good bag. But I always felt kind of weird because I had a OnePlus bag and I didn't have a OnePlus phone. And those of you who were watching last week know that I've been using the Moto X2 because my Google Pixel died. But sure enough, today in the mail, I got this curious box.
That might
look familiar to some people.
I wonder why that happened.
But sure enough, what's in it?
I love it. You saved on bubble wrap.
The bespoke box gave me, as it says, the speed you need. It is a OnePlus 6. Thanks to the fine folks at OnePlus, as well as my All About Android sister, Florence. Thank you. So I'm going to be giving the OnePlus 6 a little bit of a test drive for a little while. Now, the irony is that literally the day after my Google Pixel died, I finally got in the mail my Google Pixel case for being a local guide. And so I could use my map of Queens, New York on a dead Google Pixel.
That's super cool. I want a local guide case.
I might try to resuscitate the Pixel just to use that. I don't know if it will fit on the Pixel too. We'll see. I don't know.
Or just carry around the Pixel, maybe turn it into a necklace with the case on it.
Yeah, flavorful.
Hey, if the dang thing will stop rebooting, I could use it as a Wi-Fi device or something. I don't know. Yeah. But I'm super excited to be using the OnePlus 6. I haven't set it up yet. I'm going to set it up after the show. I'm actually going on vacation tomorrow for a few days. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh at the annual Pinburg pinball tournament, and I'm going to take tons of pictures. I'm going to give this a test run on the battery life. We'll see how it goes. But Jason, I feel like I can't get rid of the bespoke box, and I don't have a lot of room in my apartment, but I'm going to save it for when I need to send you something back because I don't want this to get thrown out in New York City.
I was going to say, just send it back if you need to.
Yeah, I might just send it back empty. I don't know.
I'm not trying to throw shade on OnePlus, but that box looks exactly like the Nexus 6 box from a couple of years ago.
The white box or the bespoke box?
Yeah,
the white box.
That box right there. Looks like the Nexus 6.
I think on purpose. I think, and also the Nexus 6 box kind of looks like an iPhone box.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the white, thick cardboard, minimal packaging, Apple did set that design aesthetic.
Box innovation has slowed a little bit.
So,
In boxes.
Yeah, we do need innovation in boxes, but I've never used the OnePlus as a daily driver before. So,
I'm so excited for your experience. I can't wait to hear what you think. And I'm also very curious to hear what you think about the pictures coming from a Pixel.
Yeah.
So,
You're going to like that phone, I think. You'll enjoy it. Good. I'm happy it got to you, and we can make sure that box becomes a running character in the show one way or another over time.
Shipping it next.
I don't know. Stay tuned to find out. Real quick, before we get to the news, just a reminder. We do this always at the end of the show. I thought I'd do it at the beginning, you know, just switch things up. If you haven't subscribed, you should do it. twit.tv/AAA. You can find us in iTunes and all the other places. We say it at the end. Now I'm going to say it just real quick at the beginning before I throw to Victor for the news. I know for a fact that since All About Android started, we've reported more news on Android news.
That's true.
Not less. No. Well, that's true. That is fact. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Like this news, did you? And by the way, I am still using the Chrome tab.
So if I get frustrated, yes, throw it across the room, you'll understand,
wow,
why.
All right.
I'm trying to get to the note that I have embedded, but I cannot.
I have the note. If you'd like to peep on over my screen.
Oh, wait a minute. I got it. I have my little sliver of detail here. The EU. You probably already know about
the
this.
European
we talked about it last week because the actual fine had not happened yet. Well, now we know the EU issued a record-breaking 4.3 billion euros fine to Google. And that's a penalty for what we talked about a little bit last week, the anti-competitive behavior on the part of the Android OS and Google's management of that. Quick summary of what that means or what those charges were. Google forces pre-install of Chrome and search app as a condition of carrying the Play Store on the device. That was one of the charges. Google paid for search app exclusivity to keep it shielded from competition. This is what the EU says. And Google prevented manufacturers from selling devices with non-Google versions of Android, which is essentially as how all of this plays is if you're a device manufacturer and you're putting out a device that has the GMS, all of Google's apps and services embedded on it, you can't then also sell a version or a device that runs the non-Google version of Android. You have to, all of your devices have to be that. So it kind of locks you in if you agree to that. So Google has to pay this fine. They have 90 days to change their conduct or face further penalties. And of course, Google's going to appeal. Sundar Pichai put out a blog post. It basically summarizes that Android actually does provide choice. The post stressed that 24,000 devices at all price points are available on Android now, but can all run the same applications because of the rules that Google has specified here. They're talking about keeping everything conformed to a specific set of rules so that everything interoperates and works together and you don't have a convoluted ecosystem. Also says that these devices include, quote, as many as 40 apps from multiple developers with the ability to disable and delete apps and choose others. So even though Chrome might ship on a device, that doesn't stop someone from installing their own, or even from the manufacturer from including their own on there as another option, as is the case with Samsung. I realize I'm throwing this at you, Victor. Is Sundar Pichai possibly standing by to answer one of our calls here? He might not be. Oh, he's offline.
He's too busy.
That's okay.
He's too busy dealing.
It's okay.
We lost him on Skype.
All right. Well, so he dropped off on Skype, but before he went, he yelled out very quickly. He said, "We are concerned that today's decision will upset the careful balance that we have struck with Android, and that it sends a troubling signal in favor of proprietary systems over open platforms," which I think is an interesting statement because I think the EU would use this statement to back their side of the argument, right? Because they think that Google is being a little bit more proprietary, I think, in that sense, and not allowing others to compete in the same playing field. So that's kind of a summary of where we're at as a result of all this. And it happened, and hey, who knows? In 90 days, if Google doesn't make changes, I'm sure that they will, but if they don't make changes, this story could continue. What do we think about it? Should we throw to you, Flo?
I have a lot to say on this matter. I said a lot. Here. I said a lot last week. Here. I said a lot last week over several podcasts, but basically I just feel like everybody talking about how much choice has been created, they're not thinking about the fact that all of these phones have Google services in common and that the overall goal of the EU is to keep the Google services from propagating and becoming, you know, a monopoly. Basically, a monopoly of Google services everywhere. So it doesn't matter if you're using a Motorola phone, if you're using an LG phone, if you're using a Pixel phone or a Samsung phone, you are still tapping into those Google services. Like, those are the things that's the one route that you have to go. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's actually a little worse than iOS because it says it's open, but in reality, it's kind of like keeping you within the boundaries of this one particular service ecosystem.
If you choose to agree to Google's requirements, stringent requirements,
yeah,
in allowing those
because
services to be
does,
there. So are you saying that you, I mean,
do you side with, or do you kind of understand the EU's thinking on this?
I do. Because why does a Samsung phone have to have two browsers on it? The only reason it has two browsers is because Google requires that the Chrome browser is on there, but Samsung wants its browser that it puts its own development work into to be prominent on the phone. But then in the end, it's the consumer that loses out on it, because now I've got like two browsers that I have, one of them I can't delete. I have to deal with these two browsers. But it's also like that insistence of, this is the Google path. Like, look, you're using a phone in the Google bubble, if that makes sense.
So, Ant, where do you stand on this? Do you feel like having two browsers on a device is choice or is bad for the consumer because they're kind of stuck with something that they don't want?
I don't like the idea of Google forcing a browser on you. Especially when there are other options out there that you guys have even reviewed in the past. But I do like the fact that Google is saying, you know what, we're trying to make things a little more uniform across whatever mobile device that you're using, especially when we heard for about, I don't know, almost 10 years that F word when it come to Android and everything was different. And I like that they're trying to unify everything. See, you knew it. I didn't have to say it.
I feel like the fragmentation as a word and as a discussion point has really kind of fallen off the map a lot in the last couple of years, almost to the point to where I felt the need to say that so someone didn't think it was the other F word.
Because it's coming back around. Because I think that's why Google's a little, I mean, not scared, I don't know if that's the right word, but why it's kind of leaning in the direction of like, hey, we're creating choice. Please don't rock this boat. We're working so hard to try and like reel all of this back in. And if we have to comply with some new standards, that's just going to like change everything we've been working on.
Yeah,
so that's what I kind of feel is the real note of that. You know, we've created more choice. Please side with us.
I can't quite wrap my head around the "we created more choice" talk. What do they mean by that?
What does Google mean by that?
They obviously created more choice by giving an alternative to Apple, right? Like if you don't want to spend, if you don't want to or can't spend the money on an iOS device, what other choice did you have? A feature phone?
Well, maybe it would have been a feature phone if Android weren't on every phone and there were other operating systems.
Well, this is a weird kind of existential crisis loop you get in, because when the smartphone market emerged, right, we already had Windows phones, which we all knew were garbage. iOS was a revelation because it showed what a smartphone could do, and then Google responded with Android to provide competition and choice in the marketplace. You know, there are other operating systems that have tried to launch and never got traction. So I think there are, you know, admittedly I'm being pro Google in this argument. But they absolutely did provide choice. There was for a year, however long it was until Android came out, there was one choice. It was Apple, and now and Google is given a second one. So I don't know. I think that they did give choice, but I also think that two browsers on a phone is not the end of the world at all.
No,
I think
it's not
about the browsers on the phone. Yeah. It's still like Google created choice, but Google created choice within its bubble. It's like, here's choice, but the only real choice that you have is that the Google service is behind all of this, and that the Google branding is what's behind all of this.
Okay, so then take a step back a little bit, and what about the fact that Google actually offers two different types of Android? Google offers...
Now it does.
Sure, now it does and has for quite a while. Google offers a version of Android that has its services looped through that you agree to, that you say, if I actually want your valuable services and your apps on my phone because people want those, therefore I agree to this. Or you agree to not do that and you can do a version of Android that includes anything that you actually want. I mean, and then of course the problem ends up being that everybody wants access to the Play Store that has the kind of the richest app ecosystem that Android can provide. But
Google
I mean,
service.
You do have choice, right? You do have some choices there, but that's not enough choice according to the EU. Is that right?
I remember seeing in a chat room recently, someone talked about, maybe like a grandmother or somebody getting a new phone, and they didn't want to set up a Gmail account. They just wanted a phone and wanted to be able to fire up the browser and all of that. And I think that's another big problem with it, is just forcing you to sort of sign up for those services, or else you're just getting somewhat of a dummy phone.
We also have to look at the fact that I just don't think the EU wants Google to get as big in Europe as it has over here. Like, it's, this is totally just a matter of regulating a company that's as big as Google and has its hand in as many pots as it does. And I think the idea is to keep it asunder, kind of the same way it did with Microsoft in the 90s. And I know that's like the big thing everybody keeps relating it to, but it, you know, I still think it holds some credence. And I think we have to look at that history as well to kind of know how the EU operates compared to America. It, there
sounds
are differences.
Like oranges to oranges to me.
Did the changes that were made with Microsoft back then, like, did they amount to what the EU is hoping will happen in you know, in pushing Google in this direction?
I mean, they're still
around. I absolutely
think
so.
Yeah.
Still around.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I absolutely think so, because they forced Microsoft to provide alternate browser options in Windows, and they complied. And so now there's a window, there's an EU version of Windows that ships with Edge or IE or whatever, but or doesn't ship with the browser. I forget what the thing was, but Microsoft absolutely complied. And whether or not it, I don't like, to Flo's point, they're still around, they're surviving, they're figuring out how to work around these guidelines, which I think is what Google's going to have to do.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll be fine.
And then and then do those changes end up you know, filtering into other markets and not just EU? EU is obviously a very large market. But I mean, taking the Microsoft example, like, I think we discussed this a little bit last week. Here in the US, when you install a copy of Windows, haven't done it in a long time, but the last time I did it, I didn't get that browser selection window. It was something that appears, I think, in the European market and not in the US market. So there is such a thing as serving different versions of these things to different markets. I'd just be curious to see if Google goes the single approach of, well, we're doing it over here, maybe we change things foundationally to service all markets equally, or do they end up fragmenting, you know, so that the EU gets one version, or the European Union, Europe gets one version of Android, and then the rest of the world
gets
another.
I would think so. I would think that they would end up fragmenting it further, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, how are you, if you're going to have this much choice, it's going to become fragmented anyway because it's so big. It just feels like this is such a big beast that it's trying to be reined in right now. And it's getting huge. And I think, I mean, we can all talk about, Google's got to pay so much money, $5 billion. It's so much money. they're going to have to do all this. Like,
whatever.
It's just a giant company. They're going to be fine.
So $5 billion, you know, translated to dollars would be a lot for most companies. Earnings, their earnings report was off the charts, which basically shielded the effects of the fine entirely. And in the end, they still had an amazing quarter if you take out, you know, that the hit to revenue as a result of this. Investors aren't concerned.
He shrugged off the impact of EU fine, according to an Android Police headline. So, well put.
Love it.
So there we have it. I'm obviously, the story is not over. We're going to hear more about this as it goes along, and as Google you know, seeks to comply with it, 90 days.
This is going to be our EU case of this generation. But I mean that in all seriousness, because I feel like this could change. I mean, this could change some things.
Yeah.
If they have really to change the underlying code of Android to
We'll certainly see. Or how they strike those deals, and what exclusivity actually means, you know, for Google services.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Well, I kind of saw some of this popping up on social media yesterday, but I didn't look into it. And I guess I'm kind of bummed that I didn't, because now it's missing. So yesterday there was a material design video produced in collab with Google. It appeared on Vimeo and it was taken down immediately thereafter. So what it did is it showed the evolution of material design since the very beginning, the dawn of the material.
The age of Aquarius.
The age of material.
Age of material.
So it showed the direction of Google's apps with designs.
Sorry, that got me. That was great.
So the video showed off a direction of Google's apps with designs that weren't seen in the apps themselves. And then friend of the show, Liam Spradlin, who's now a Googler, tweeted about the video, which kind of created a little more buzz around it, because, design person from Google tweeting. But then Liam added, the interfaces seen in the video shouldn't be considered final plan designs. Sit tight. And this is kind of along the lines of when we got the new Material 2, or, you know, whatever it was called at Google I.O., we got prototype designs from several companies just to show kind of what Material would look like in those evolutions. So I kind of like this little approach. It's very much a it's very much a little tease of what's to come. And we see it kind of coming in through the app updates that we're getting from the Android apps.
It's funny you say that because just recently I've noticed these little subtle updates that are happening mm-hmm. here and there, and the font is changing to whatever the new font or the material font, right? That the new
like Google
Gmail
Sans,
font,
I believe it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. So I'm seeing it in Assistant. I'm seeing it in like Google Now or whatever that whole thing is. You're seeing it emerge a little bit here and there, and I gotta admit, I like the direction it's going, and I like it a lot, and it feels material evolved, you know, and it definitely seems like a good direction.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, we are
definitely seems cleaner.
It seems cleaner. It's a lot of white space. And actually, we have an emailer later in the show who has complaints about this, like this white space trend. A lot of people have complaints about white space for one reason or another. But there are serious complaints about it from like an accessibility standpoint as well. But that's certainly the direction that Google's going. Every time they release something new, there's a lot more white. There's a little bit extra space and margins around things. Some would see that as wasted space, but it makes it look a lot cleaner to my eyes.
Sure.
Yeah.
While doing this, I wish they would still figure out a way to give me the swipe away option back from the cards on the today screen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
I mean, I'm not the only person that's complained about it.
No. You have to tap the overflow button and then hide this or whatever in order to get it to disappear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. So weird, because that was never how the feed worked when it was Google Now. Strange that they decided to do that. Ron, you got the next one.
Strange.
Yes. Strange. So a lot of times you release a product and it's really cool, and then the next version's really cool, then the next version's really cool. But in some spaces, six times the charm. But I think the product was already pretty cool, but it's going to get even cooler. Gorilla Glass 6 is going to be the best Gorilla Glass yet, everybody.
Yeah.
So Corning announced this last week, saying that the first devices to ship with Gorilla Glass 6 in the second part of this year, which is just around the corner, folks. This year's almost over. We're into the second half of the year. We should start seeing Gorilla Glass 6. It uses a new material that is, quote, chemically strengthened to higher levels of compression and is designed for phones that use the glass on 85% of the design, i.e. those with the 18:9 or 19:9 aspect ratio. And in tests, it survived 15 drops from 1 meter onto rough surfaces, two times better than Gorilla Glass 5. And I got to tell you, we are getting closer and closer to an all-glass phone thanks to the people at Corning and Gorilla Glass. And I am not paid by Corning to hype Gorilla Glass. I'm just saying that my dream of a bezel-less phone that is all glass is going to be a reality because of Gorilla Glass 9. There, I said it. Version 9 will do it.
I feel like every time there's a new Gorilla Glass, it's like your phone is going to be practically, you know, scratch-proof, and it never seems to happen. So I hope that they're right. I hope that they're right.
They're way more slippery.
I'm pretty sure case sales are still going to climb each and every year. They're not going to decline.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because now you can get cases with, like, Tetris games on them. You can play. Yes.
Like physical Tetris games?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Like black and white Tetris games. It's okay. It's crazy what kind of cases you can get. Why wouldn't I cover the phone with a piece of personality?
I'd put Tetris on my phone. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the last three or four devices that I've had, but every single one of them has just been too slippery.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse with each iteration. And I have no problem slapping a cover on there. And shout out to you, Gorilla Glass, for trying to make it better and stronger. But if that phone is slippery, that glass is not going to mean a hill of beans to me.
Yeah, we need it to be smooth and tacky at the same time, which doesn't make any sense at all.
I know we're 20 years late, but the discovery of transparent aluminum is just around the corner, and that will solve everything.
Oh, Ron, you're awesome.
Was there really
positive.
Transparent aluminum?
Oh, Flo.
Someday.
Flo, rent your homework assignment. Go watch Star Trek 4.
Okay.
The Voyage Home. And actually, to be honest, Flo and anyone else in the audience, if you have not seen Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home, whether you're a Star Trek fan or not, watch it because it is one of the best Star Trek movies and it is a hilarious glimpse at 1987 San Francisco.
That's right. It's been a long time since I watched that one.
So, Flo, I think you would enjoy it. It was all shot on location.
Okay.
So, all right.
That's your homework. We'll check in on it next week.
We'll
test you on a single fact from within the movie.
I got it. Pop quiz
pull it
next
out.
Week.
So you might have to watch it two or three times. Just saying. We got a voicemail from Willie.
Yay, female.
A voicemail from Willie. I uploaded it on SoundCloud, so you'll find the link there, Victor, about Amazon Prime and for phones. Probably.
I do have it. I swear.
Another show last week, I heard about Ron's unfortunate accident with his phone, and so he had to go back to using another device. I wanted to call in with this. I don't know if y'all knew about this, but Amazon Prime has this deal where on some of the Amazon Prime phones, you can get them in payment plans, and it doesn't require applying for credit or anything like that. It's just as a Prime member benefit, you get to get these phones that are payable over time. I saw one of the Moto X4s, I think, was available like that. There was a LG G6 that you could do that with. And so just wanted to throw that out there. Maybe that's an option for Ron and for some of the listeners who are looking for a new device but don't want to break the bank. Hope this helps and love the show. Keep up the good work. Take care.
I didn't realize Prime had this. So it's
Neither.
There's a ton of blue phones in there, the BLU brand.
Blue.
So they definitely, have deals with certain manufacturers.
They also have Honor
6X. Huawei, ZTE.
Are blue phones the ones that send your data to China?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that.
I think they're one of them.
They're not very reliable. Like,
yeah. Listen, send your data to China once, my bad. Send your data to China twice, all of our bad.
That's what they say. Yeah. The BlackBerry Leap Factory? Am I reading that?
What?
I don't know. By BlackBerry. $55. Okay, that's obviously weird. There's a lot of strange phones in here, I will say. But I didn't know that Amazon had this. And as far as I can understand, if you're a Prime member, no finance charge.
Sony phone.
No, what's that?
A Sony phone.
A Sony.
Yeah, I'd take an Xperia.
There's a Sony. Moto G. There's a couple of older Moto
Fourth
G devices
gen.
In there. But no finance charges, no interest, no hidden fees, no credit check application required. It's straight up. It's a monthly payment plan.
Zenfone 3 Max.
Instead of paying up front, you just pay monthly and you pay less that way. And so, you know,
sometimes
when you have a device break and maybe you want an interim phone, you're waiting for something, maybe it makes sense to do something like this instead of paying.
Do your research.
I don't know. I'm sure it's helpful to
type in the name of the phone and security breach.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Name of the phone and data privacy.
That's a good idea.
Just
to be safe. Fair. Yeah. So anyways, thanks for sending that in, Willie.
Yeah,
I did not
know.
Realize that existed.
Consumery things we don't always get a hang of.
Yeah. Well, we don't know about them until we do. And it turns out Amazon Prime has a lot of perks. And so many that they kind of get lost, right? You kind of don't even know
they're
there.
Yeah, they just keep adding them in.
Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll get to some hardware stuff. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Buy Quicken Loans. We're going to talk about buying a home for just a few minutes here. You may already have heard about the rising interest rates. It's happening. There's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home these days. It's causing a lot of anxiety with folks. They don't know what their options are. They don't know if they should move now or wait or all that kind of stuff. Well, our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process, and this is how it works. Quicken Loans. It's going to verify your income, your assets, and your credit in less than 24 hours. So super quick verification process to give you that verified approval. And this actually gives you the strength of a cash buyer. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they'll lock up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. So that rate is locked in there. Even if the rates change over time, you've got up to 90 days for that rate to stay in place. And then here's the best part. If the rates go up, your rates will stay the same. But if the rates go down, your rate also drops. So no matter what, you're going to win. It's kind of thinking that you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. And then you can move, like I said, like a cash buyer. It gives you the strength of a cash buyer when you find something that you want to move on. So get started. Go to rocketmortgage.com/android. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/android, and we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now it's time to talk some hardware. We saw some Moto G phones on that Amazon Prime list, but not the Moto G6 because this is the new one,
this
right?
This one is worth buying, and this one is on Project Fi.
Oh.
So if you've seen the Moto X4, then this phone will look very familiar to you. It is the Moto G6. Whoop. Look, I tried to make a little like
nice drop.
Also, because this thing is super fingerprinty, as you will see immediately, it just picks up your fingerprints. So we went through the specs of this really quickly the last time we showed it off.
A couple of weeks ago.
But we've got a... Hold on one second. Whoop. Let me make sure. Okay, there we go. We're good. So this is the Moto G6. It's got a 5.7... Here I go, trying to like make this work, and it's not. So it's got a 5.7-inch 1080p IPS display. I just unlocked it with my fingerprint. I put an annoying Animal Crossing wallpaper on the back because I wanted to see how it handled moving wallpaper. So I just downloaded this because I just wanted to see how it would handle all that.
It's beautiful wallpaper.
Well, I will tell you that the Qualcomm Snapdragon 427 processor and 3 gigs of RAM, while it's nice for, you know, things like watching TV and posting to Twitter, it is very slow when it comes to things like Snapchat and even Animal Crossing, the actual game, you can tell is just kind of... It jumps a lot, like the animations and the graphics jump a lot, and you can tell it's not as smooth as being on a Pixel, but you know. So inside this thing, there's 32 gigs of storage, there's a micro SD slot up here on the top. Like I said, it's Project Fi compatible, it's got USB-C on the bottom, and of course, headphone jack.
Sweet, which is great.
Nice bonus. Don't have to worry about all that. And of course, the fingerprint is on the front. I mean, it's fine. It's fast. As you can see, it works just fine. But I really like the implementation that Moto had on their Z3 phone.
Yeah, on the side.
Right here.
Well, what's interesting to me is the fingerprint sensor is on the bottom, but it's the same like sliver size as you would get on the side of the phone.
Exactly.
You know, they didn't make it any bigger.
So when I scanned in my thumb, I was just scanning it like this.
Yeah, because you never know where your thumb's going to hit.
I didn't do that. The screen's actually really nice. I actually had a really nice little gradient wallpaper on here earlier, and it looks super nice. And video looks really good on this, and apps look really good, and the colors are vivid. And if you swipe over, you'll get that Google feed. And if you swipe over to the end, you won't get anything because it's just like a Pixel launcher. It only has as many home screens as you want. When you install it, it is pretty bare bones as well. So you're not going to get, or when you set it up, you're not going to get all of that bloatware. Also on the back, there is dual rear facing cameras. So we've got 12 megapixels and 5 megapixels. They both shoot at f1.8 aperture, also an 8-megapixel front-facing camera, which the camera is like fine. I brought a couple portrait shots for show and tell just to kind of show. But before we go into those, sorry, Victor. Before we go into those, let me actually show you the camera interface. So, hello, you're upside down. Okay.
Looks familiar.
Yes. So we've got Google Lens button right here if you need it. We've got the portrait mode button right here if you need it. This is just regular photo. And then when you swipe over here, my God, all these tooltips. I get it. You're onboarding me. and then over here we have photo modes like portrait, text scanner, spot color so that you can take a picture with like a certain color, you know, in there. Panorama, face filters, which are just like fun little, as you can see, I haven't tried them on yet, but I know that these have been on a couple of other Moto phones.
You need to have a friend in order to use them. You can't do them in selfie mode, which I thought was a missed opportunity.
Millennials.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense.
But other than that, I mean, the interface is pretty, it's pretty bare bones. The camera's kind of slow. Okay. I will say you have to hold the camera still to take a still photo. So Victor, if you wouldn't mind rolling through those portrait photos just so I can, just so you can check. So this is just some portrait photos in my house of birds.
Oh.
And candle wax and some mushrooms. So it's not too bad, but you can tell, like, look how kind of the white looks sort of faded. So the thing about Motorola phones, I've been testing these for years, and there's something about the Motorola camera on their sort of lower end and mid-range phones, like they all have this sort of faded out wispiness about them, mm-hmm. that it just doesn't feel alive. It just doesn't feel alive. It feels dead.
Oh, like that.
But yes. Moto G6, $250. Not too bad. Half the price of the Moto X4, which has a slightly faster processor, is also on Project Fi. But, you know, if you've only got $250 and you just need a phone. I also use this a lot with IoT, some of my smart home apps. I used it to set up some lights yesterday. Everything went swimmingly. So if you want to use it for home control, you can.
Nice. It's got the fast charge. Or, yep. Sorry, they call it turbo.
Yes, 3,000 milliamp
turbo power
battery. And since it's turbo power, that means it's proprietary. So it only works with the cord that comes in the box to get that speed.
Right, to get up to that speed, for sure. 3,000 milliamps with the kind of lesser, the Snapdragon, what was it again?
427.
427. So it's probably going to give you a better battery, you know, life. Those combined, you know, will couple up and give you a little bit of extra battery life because it's not a processor that's going insane on.
No. But for a $250 phone, it feels a lot more premium than any of like the previous Moto phones that would cost as much.
The design is really nice. I like
it. Yeah, the design is just an X4. It's just a Moto X4, and it makes perfect sense to just use that factory line and pump out, you know, cheaper phones and make people feel good, even though maybe they can't spend as much. They don't have that ability.
Yeah.
Everything you just said sounds like a $200 phone. So, I mean, it sounds legit.
Yeah. I mean, it does. I can do Snapchat on it. It's super slow.
Snapchat hasn't been known to be very.
It's not. But I use it as a benchmark because it uses up so much memory.
Yeah, totally.
If
the phone runs Snapchat really well, then that's saying something.
And
about
Instagram,
the phone.
Yeah. Because Instagram is a very heady app as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, what would a millennial do?
WWM.
You know, I do Slack and email. Like any phone can do that. It's fine. Slack, email, and Twitter, anything can do that. It's fine.
Wait a minute. Maybe we, WMDs is, yeah, this is going in a different direction.
Yeah,
maybe we don't like that very much. All right, moving on. Thank you for showing that off, Moto G6. So you think for the price, it's a pretty good affordable option.
Absolutely. I mean, the fingerprinting thing is going to be annoying, and I don't know how you're going to find a case for it. So, except from where they sell it,
yeah, Motorola probably has a case or something.
Yeah, I know. But like, what if you want a pink one with like rabbit ears? You know?
Yeah, I know.
Did you get to play around with video?
No, not beyond like third party apps, actually.
Okay.
Which perhaps says a little bit about my video usage.
Yeah, I don't take much video shots, but I know that you do, Ant.
You
do a lot with video on smartphones.
Yes, he puts them on drones. And they fly above the clouds like a Khaleesi on her dragon.
That's true.
I allegedly do that.
Allegedly. Whoa, all right. Well, so not allegedly, but our friends over at Xiaomi announced a couple more Android One devices that might be worth looking at. So the Xiaomi Mi A2 was announced, and this is a 6-inch, 18:9 aspect ratio, 1080p LCD display device running Snapdragon 660, and it's got a 12 and 20 megapixel dual camera, 20 megapixel selfie camera. Man, these selfie cameras are regularly up there like 20 megapixels. Remember when they were like six?
Anyway. Five at the most at one time.
Yeah, they were just real – anyway. It's got USB-C, 3,000 milliamp battery, up to 128 gig of storage, up to 6 gig of RAM, and it's priced at about between 249 and 349 euros, which is not – not that – but listen, it doesn't stop there. The Xiaomi Mi A2 Lite is a 5.84-inch 19:9 aspect ratio 1080p LCD display running Snapdragon 625, 12 and 15 megapixel dual cameras. So a little less. 5 megapixel selfie camera. There's your 5 megapixel selfie camera. But with a bigger battery, 4,000 milliamp, micro USB, up to 64 gig of storage, and up to 4 gig of RAM. So this is a light version despite the bigger battery. And it runs micro USB is an odd choice.
Come on.
It runs going to be available for 179 to 229 euros, first in Spain and then out to 40 different countries. So Spain, if you're watching, you're get on board the Xiaomi.
On delay.
So what do we think of these phones? Do you think these are worth it, or the price point seems
pixely.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, these are definitely low mid, I'd say. And
mid's a lot. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to play around with these. I would love to find a contact with Xiaomi because I feel like we talk about their phones all the time, but it's hard to, you know, without the day-to-day use or the day-to-day experience. You do have the notch, and I can't tell, is the notch on the light or is that on the larger version? I can't quite tell from this article. You don't see it in this picture. But you do see it if you scroll down a little bit. There you go. You got a little notch action there.
I wouldn't care either way.
I mean, notch doesn't action. Bother me, but
okay.
You know,
but
some
look at
that,
Look at that iPhone-y back there with the two cameras stacked on top of one another.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can either go vertical or horizontal. Is it? But okay, so you're a camera person and you work with these things. Maybe you know the answer
you
to this.
Touch these things.
You work with these things.
You work with these antiquated things called cameras. My question is, like, between vertical and horizontal layout on dual cameras, like, what is the difference? Like, does it actually make a difference in how these cameras, you know, put together the images in the way that they do?
No, not at all. The only difference is whether you're pinky is going to end up in the frame.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to consider, actually.
It is, because we're seeing a lot of phones where the cameras, those things that some people call cameras, are like right above the fingerprint sensor on the back of the phone. And so often you're searching for the fingerprint sensor and instead you're covering up the thing.
Are you talking about Samsung phones?
What's that?
Are you talking about some of Samsung's phones?
I'm also talking about the Sony Xperia ZX2, XZ2, XZ2. That I've been playing
again.
We
talk a lot about Sony on this show. There's not a lot of Sony out there.
Well, I don't know that we do talk about Sony a whole lot.
I know. Just the last 2 weeks.
What always gets me about the Sony devices is they're one of the companies that make some of the best image sensors out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, but yet when it comes to their phones, the camera is always sort of lacking from a processing standpoint. It looks good, but it takes forever to snap a photo. You know?
I have noticed that. That's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I've been taking a lot of pictures with the XZ2, and there's a little bit of a lag factor with that. That phone is very interesting in a number of ways, but in some other ways, very puzzling to me, especially for the price point. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more in an upcoming episode, but I really want to give it some time before I really dive in on that. But that's one thing I totally noticed. And let's see here. Google's Chromecast. Hey, happy birthday. We should break out some party hats because Chromecast is 5 years old. Just turned 5.
I still use it.
I think I still have that one. I don't know where it is. Here's the thing. Feels much longer than 5 years.
Yeah?
It's come
a long way in 5 years.
I still have it.
This whole experiment began with the Nexus Q. Oh, we remember the Nexus Q. Actually, I don't know if it began with the Nexus Q. If was the Nexus Q or Google TV first? I think maybe Google TV was first.
Yes.
TV was first.
Yeah. But then Nexus Q came out, and a lot of what we ended up seeing in Chromecast began in the Nexus Q, even though most people never saw the Nexus Q. It never made it consumer shelves. Chromecast was a surprise in 2013. In 2014, Play Services expanded apps in phones reach into Chromecast, so it made that a lot easier.
That was only 4 years ago.
That was only 4 years ago. Oh, I know. Gonna go back in time later.
It's so funny that this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say they released the Puck. They released Chromecast Audio supported on Android TV. So now it's baked into Android TV. Then Chromecast Ultra with 4K and HDR. And now a lot of these features come through Google Home as well, right? Like Google Home replaced Chromecast Audio for me. What I was using Chromecast Audio for, now Google Home plays the music in all the rooms, which is what I was using it for. Mm-hmm, so, yeah, it's come a long way. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ann. What were you gonna say?
It's just funny that this article pops up in the whole anniversary and whatnot, because Queen Pruitt just yesterday was saying to me, hey, I used the Chromecast all by myself and I got it to work and I was able to watch this and watch that. And I said, you know what? That's great. Google is elated because that's what it was for. It's for the people that are not as technical, allegedly, to be able to just pick up their phone and say cast and let me see it on my bigger screen, you know, and it took 5 years for it to happen, but it's happened.
Yeah, I would agree. Chromecast, I had an extra Chromecast. And when I went to visit my parents a couple of years ago in Boise, I installed a Chromecast onto their TV. And that's like the ultimate test for me, is if I can install something on my parents' TV and then leave, because I live in the Bay Area. And if they end up using it or if they have any questions or issues. My mom didn't have a problem with it. Like, she was able to use it regularly, and I think they still use it. That's how they watch Netflix.
That must be nice. I bought my parents one, and they replaced it with a Fire TV stick.
Yeah.
Now they don't have YouTube. Like, ha ha.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I bet they're really missing YouTube. Your parents
they do
really
actually because
out.
No, they do because they have Romanian pop playlists that they love, and like it's like the easiest way to get all that stuff.
Well, you can still help them out, and
no.
Get him. No,
no. I guess I bought him a Chromecast and they did nothing with it. I used money on a Chromecast.
Wow.
But I'm still using my first gen.
Issues.
Yeah.
I remember having performance issues years ago when we first got it, and it just slowly got better over time. And I also remember how it used to get really, really hot on the back of your television, and people were chatting about it in the forums and complaining. But I haven't seen anything about that of late. But then again, it you just plug it in and it just works. I hardly ever use it. My family uses it a lot more than I do. And it's just really neat to see that people can just pick it up and do what they want to do and watch it without having to ask me 50 questions.
Hopefully it just works.
That's the key, not getting the questions. I mean, they definitely solved the heat problem where Amazon has not. I got a Fire Stick for my sister, and they regularly have to unplug it, let it sit for a couple of minutes, and plug it back in because that thing overheats all the time.
And blow it in the cartridge.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, one little feature that's currently missing from all this casting is the ability to have the TV playing audio and then have the audio stream through the Google Homes throughout the house so I can hear the TV in the other room.
Wait a minute, so the Chromecast on the TV is playing video and then all of your Google Homes are playing the audio from
That's
the Chromecast?
That's what I want
to have happen. Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
That's what I want to have happen. Great. Because, Yes, I want to be able to like cast a home group.
Then you can like you have to go upstairs to get something. You don't have to interrupt your housewives.
I want to know what the dialogue is. Yes.
Yeah.
I need to know what the pettiness is unfolding on screen because
I'm not going to pause the housewives. I just want them to continue. I don't have to see them.
Or if I get up to go get ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, I need to make sure I know what's going on.
If you're watching a game or something.
Well, that's
it is.
True.
I mean, it is a game of very dramatic women who have a lot of money.
Everybody has a different definition of a game. That would be a good feature. I like it. Maybe that would be a feature of Samsung's upcoming smart home thing.
I mean, who knows? It's got Bixby, and we don't really hear a lot about it. So here's the thing. It's very possible that Samsung could launch a $300 Bixby speaker at its event coming up. So, you know, we've got like all this talk about, there's another note coming. It's another phone with a pen. But what would be so great to have alongside your phone with a pen? Well, what about a speaker that you could also speak to that is not from Google or Amazon or Apple for that matter? Yeah. So apparently it's right around the corner, August 9th. A Bixby Home smart speaker, $300, as we mentioned, marketed as a premium speaker with quote-unquote smart features as the extras. Kind of the idea is also that it might act as a hub for Samsung smart things, which would be super smart because the speakers that exist now are not actual bona fide hubs.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if they would make it a Samsung smart things hub, that means that they would pump in that hardware that you need to use all that proprietary, to use that particular, to use that stuff, Zigbee, Z-Wave, and all that. So, which would be kind of an edge on what Google and Apple have going on. Actually, Apple has HomeKit compatibility in its Apple TV, and Amazon has some Zigbee compatibility in some of its smart speakers. So, this is kind of the way we're going here.
Going that way.
It makes sense that Samsung would leverage that because SmartThings is such, like, it's one of the best smart home platforms because it's one of the most elaborate. So,
cool.
Something to keep in mind. It's very much a possibility. Also, a Galaxy smartwatch, and this one has definitely been popping up in my Google feed a lot. So, Samsung actually added a listing for the new Galaxy Watch on its site before removing it, and that's what was popping up all over my Google feed. There's no word if it's running Tizen, like the Gear watches, or if it's running your very traditional Wear OS / Android Wear. But Tizen watches are all Gear, like I said, so it's very possible that this could be also another Gear watch. EvLeaks also has fresh renders of the three color variants of the Note 9. So along with that event, we're thinking maybe there's a watch, maybe there's a smart speaker, and maybe there's three different color variants of the Note 9. So it would include black, blue, and brown.
Brown.
Which doesn't really
looks
look brown.
Like gold.
It looks like a mauve-ish of sorts, but you know.
Yeah.
So.
I'm too old for this stuff, I guess, man. Just give me a black phone or a white phone. That's about it.
You're too old for the colors.
The I like the purple that Samsung's been doing. I like the different colors. I like the OnePlus
Reds. Do you want a millennial pink phone?
No, because that millennial pink is going out of style. It's not. It's officially on the outs.
So passe.
You know she it's on the outs because I'm talking about it.
Yes. See, because you are aware, that means it's done.
I found out about it from Disneyland, so. Because they have millennial pink mini ears now.
I found out about it in a box of Crayolas. Millennial
There's
pink?
A millennial oh. pink in. No, just kidding. I was about to say, Crayola, get with the program.
The S Pen, by the way, in those pictures, because we talked last week, I think it was last
about
week.
About it being yellow?
About the yellow, the screaming yellow S Pen. And it appears that it's matched to whatever the graphic, you know, the graphic backsplash is on the display as opposed to the actual color of the device. Or maybe that's just the case with the yellow one. I guess the yellow S Pen does have a blue tip when it's matched with the blue phone. That makes sense because it's part of the design when you put it into the thing.
Either way, we're not going to find out until August 9th. And, I mean, if you would like, you can come join Jason and I on August 9th at 8 a.m. here on the Twit Network.
That's
because
right.
We're going to be live punditing the Samsung event. We're going to do our own little riff tracks, our own little mystery science theater. Except you'll see our faces. We're not going to just be shadows.
Although it would be awesome if we were shadows.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of the thing. That would be fun. Maybe we can make that happen.
Yes, let's see what we can
give it a little twist. It's not the stream to tune into if you want to hear 100% of the stuff that's happening on the stage.
No.
It's the stream you tune into if you want to hear 50% of it, maybe. Or 40%.
It's commentary.
We talk over them while they talk about their things.
I do feel bad. The events that I've been on with you, Jason, and with Leo, like oftentimes, like it goes quiet for a couple of minutes because we're all listening, and it's like, and I'm like, oh, I should be talking, but no, I want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah,
like,
I know it's a difficult challenge to
you gotta,
do.
You got to find the moment to talk when it's not over something that they're talking about that's important.
And so definitely don't choose to take the ad break right when they announce the price of the device, like I did.
Exactly.
Don't do that. Above all else, do not do that. The bad time. For the ad break. I'll never live that down. And I think it's just me that applies that pressure on myself. But anyways. Hey, we've got a couple of apps news stories to talk about. Let's do that.
All right. Do we know if Sundar showed up? Or is Sundar still...
He's still offline?
Is he still offline?
Either way, he's
offline. Yeah, sorry.
If Sundar was here, he would want to tell us, like he told everyone during Alphabet's earnings call, that Google Translate translates 143 billion words every day.
What?
Which is insane.
That's insane.
And he also said that we also found out that there was tons of usage during the World Cup in Russia, which makes perfect sense because people from all the countries in the World Cup went to Russia to watch their teams play. And of course they need to translate because who knows Russian? Not an Argentinian. They need the Google Translate. So Sundar Pichai is there bragging about the number of words that they translate and what does the street do and what does people like Business Insider say? But they're like, you know, with that many words being translated, they should be monetizing that. I got to tell you, the curse of this whole industry is how do you monetize it? But a lot of speculation now. Are you going to be able to? Is Google going to run ads against translations or do some way to monetize it? I don't know. There's something about a great service that uses their machine learning that just works.
Yeah.
And Google gets their value out of you being a Google customer and getting advertising in other places that I really like. I don't know. Do you guys think they should monetize the Translate app or what?
I don't think they should. I wonder if at a certain point they go,
that makes
a lot of sense. But you're right. Actually, Ron, I think you make a really great point, right? Google doesn't have to make ad revenue on every single product that it creates. A large part of it can be just the fact that it's offering a service that keeps you locked into their ecosystem, much to the chagrin of the EU. But yeah, I mean, there's value to be gained there too, because then in the places where it is appropriate and it does make sense, they then have you there to serve you ads.
There's something about a great app that works that I use that doesn't attack me with ads that makes me want to keep using that company's product. That's all I'm saying. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But this gets weirder now because apparently Google Translate is predicting the future as well. So if you type the word dog, Jason, do we want to do this live or can we?
I don't know why I didn't think to do that. I might not even have Translate installed.
No, you don't have to translate. Do it. Well, anyway, so if you type dog into Translate 19 times, you get biblical responses that refer to the doomsday clock and the end of times.
But wait, from what language to what language?
Oh, boy.
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's find out.
It doesn't matter, so...
I don't think it matters. Just type dog 19 times.
4, 5, 6...
Oh, no, here it goes. Type dog 19 times and translate from Maori into English.
They probably removed it at this point.
What the heck is Maori?
It's a language.
New Zealand. The Maori are the native peoples of New Zealand.
Maori,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. If you type ag from Irish
or Somali,
it gives you more other biblical references.
I have to imagine that they've changed this.
Yeah, and so you got to wonder who did this. Was it employees screwing around and just making a prank?
So Maori to English?
So
Maori to English.
Maori to English.
And? No, it just says, 1, 2, 3.
It just says dog,
5, 6, 7.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
How many times did you hit backspace to fix the autocorrect?
A bunch. That's why it took me a while.
I have to imagine that they've corrected it at this point. Like, it's such a strange translation. But yeah, it goes, what is one of these? Well, you know, I guess you can just read it. Go look it up and read it. some people might, I guess, get offended if we read some of this out. But it is very interesting, like you said, like how does this happen? And so much of Google right now is being driven by artificial intelligence that happens behind the scenes and predictive stuff that's happening that a lot of people are thinking it had something to do with that. Leo, apparently, Del Poco says in chat, Leo was saying that it might have been natural language parsing algorithms, which is kind of what we're talking about. But it's interesting that, when you read some of these sentences, you're like, oh, that's scary stuff. Like, why are you telling me this, robot? This is the kind of stuff that makes you wonder if the robots are coming for us.
Can I give you a palate cleanser?
Sure.
For that story?
Sure. Yes, please.
Today, after so many years of using Android and using the dictation function, I recently went over to both Romanian and English dictionaries in my Google keyboard, and I found out today that you can dictate in another language. You can dictate in both Romanian and English at the same time.
Wow.
So you can dictate at the same time. How do you mean? Like, how is that when two
like
people
in the
are
keyboard,
talking to each other?
Like in the keyboard app.
Oh.
Yes, when you're doing dictation. So you can switch between Romanian and English.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Fascinating.
T-I-L. Today I learned.
Palate cleansed. Thank you, Flo.
You sounded sad. So.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something I learned today.
Thank you. Hey, you got an email.
Hey, we got an email. This is from... this is... Okay. I am a blind Android user on a Pixel 2 XL. My vision isn't entirely gone, however. I'm totally unable to read screens with white or light-colored backgrounds, which is why that material theming should probably...
That should be an option.
Yeah, I've been unsuccessful in finding a health tracking app that has a dark theme. Would you be so kind as to cast your app net and see what you can catch? I love this. This is sincere thanks, Booch, listening in Missouri. Now, Booch, I want to know if that's your real name or if you're just shouting out to the fact... that I am Kombucha's number one fan.
Mm.
I don't know.
Could go both ways at the
same
time.
That's why I pulled that a little bit in the beginning.
Actually, it's the same thing.
Thankfully, Jason went fishing for us in the Google Play Store, and he found an app called Gym Run Workout Log and Fitness Tracker. So this has actually got a dark mode going for it. It looks like it has a pretty nice layout going for it, too. So it doesn't look like one of those, you know, kind of seedy workout apps that might be hanging out in the Play Store. It's got comfortable lock screen widgets and smartwatch support, so you can have all that stuff saved. It's got... data that it'll analyze your workout data for you. You can, you know, it's got a crazy database. It's got tools like a rest timer, a stopwatch. Lets you log your body data and photos, store personal notes for exercises. So, you know, it's all there.
Yeah.
And it's dark.
I had not heard of this app before, but I did kind of do some searching around to see if there was one. And sure enough, this does offer a dark mode. You do have to pay the, I think it's $4.99 for the premium version to open up the dark mode option. And I wasn't quite sure when saying health tracking app, like that could be a number of things. So I went in the fitness direction as far as that's concerned. Maybe you're talking about a different type of health tracking app, but this appears to kind of check off the boxes of what you were looking for. And there's a backup of your data and all that kind of stuff as well. So that is called, if I were on a different computer,
Gym Run Workout Log and Fitness Tracker.
Thank you.
Gym Run is one word.
Gym Run, one word. G-Y-M-R-U-N. And I hope that helps, Booch. Thanks for writing in.
I hope you like kombucha.
It. Yeah, and if you have never had it before, you should check it out.
Maybe Booch siblings.
Booch likes Booch. All right, it's time to jump into the arena and battle.
Oh, boy.
But it's not violent. It's fun. It's okay, Victor. We've all had those days.
Yeah, it's that kind of day.
It's one of them days.
We've all been there, Victor.
Take it personal.
All right, so last week's poll, twit.to/AAA poll 378 is where you went to place your vote, or so we hope you did. And it turns out that if you look at the results.
The people do not like Flo.
People like Flo.
Moment.
But they knew that she phoned it in, and they got, you know what, Flo, better luck next week.
They kind of like Flo. They kind of
They halfway, midway.
Yeah.
Moment. That was my app. Awesome. 61%, the camera app
nice,
called
Jason.
Moment. Second place, Florence, but that was not Flo's app. That was Ron's app. Second place, 29%. Show Candy Rainbow. It surprises even me that it didn't get first, but 10% on Show Candy Rainbow.
I'm not surprised. I regained faith in the audience that Show Candy Rainbow didn't get first. But I'm disappointed that Florence didn't get first place. I was really pulling for you, Flo.
No, you weren't. It was a terrible app. It's fine. Just be honest. So, it's okay.
So we are 29 weeks into the year. We're more than halfway through the year. And currently guests are in first place with 82 points. So, Ant, no pressure there, sir, as you represent the guests with 82 points. I'm in second place with 75 points. Flo is in third place with 68 points. And Jason, with that win, is climbing back up. He's got 61 points. And we're primed for a Jason or Flo run to get back into the running here. You guys started at any time. Anytime you're ready.
Just come on. Give us some competition here. Just any time.
I lost.
Flo starts first. Yes.
All right, Flo, go first.
All right. So I brought a smart home app into the arena today. This is called... Actually, let me turn down the brightness on this because apparently it's super white. Here we go. Back over here. Thank you, Victor. Thank you. So this is called Yeti. And yes, it is spelled like a Yeti. Y-E-T-I. Anyway, so this is a very easy to use smart home app. And I kind of like to tell people about this who are new to the world of home automation, kind of don't really want to get mixed up in all the stuff that's out there, but they want to have some convenience in their life anyway. So Yeti is a good one for that. It doesn't support a whole bunch of devices, but it does support all kind of the popular ones. So Philips, Nitatmo, Nest, LifeX, Belkin Wemo, Sonos, Ecobee, Honeywell, TP-Link, Yee Lights. Those are all supported by this app, which is called Yeti. So it works with all these things, right? Which is great. You pump them in there. They all set up. It takes a couple of minutes. All you have to do is put in your login information for your different cloud accounts, and then it syncs up. And all of these work. It's just a very easy, flawless remote for all of the basic smart home devices. So here we've got all the smart bulbs in my house, both the LifeX bulbs and the Philips Hue bulbs. And you can see they're all named exactly what I've named them in other apps. Unfortunately, this LifeX one, I did not give it a cool name, but hey, whatever. And they remember everything that you put on at home. So, actually, let's see if... okay. Yeah, that did work. So this bulb is actually... This is actually a light strip at home that's turning on right now. Or I've got like my bedroom light, which shows that it's
freaking
a red light.
Out. All right, that's
He's not
on
home
right
yet, so This should be fine. Here we've got a red light. You'll see that it's red, so we know that it's red on in my bedroom. The guest room, we're going to turn on that light. That's just a regular natural light. And I really like the fact that, yes, I will tell you later. I really like the fact that you can control all the bulbs at the same time from here. You kind of have this nice little visual aid. I have a lot of natural bulbs in the house, so that's why everything is just kind of boring and white. And then everything that hasn't turned on is over there. There's also routines that you can set up. So if you've got a good morning routine that you want to start, you can select the day, select the time. You can go in and select the device, what you want it to do. Maybe you want that living room lamp to turn on in the morning to 90 brightness. Make sure that downstairs is. And that's the thing about this UI, by the way, is that it's just very nice and easy to use for anybody who's new. I did bring in Stringify to the arena many moons ago, and that's a great, robust app, and it supports a lot of different ecosystems. But it's just not as easy. It's not that like beginner feel to it the way that Yeti has, which is really nice because, again, you've got very basic labels on the bottom. You want to go, you know, change. Let's actually do a... Do I have? Yes, a color light here. So this is a color light. So you can choose the color as you need from here. Choose the warmth as you like and the effects. So if you wanted to loop colors or blink, or perhaps you... I actually haven't tested the magic wand, which tips your phone towards the device, like using a magic wand to turn it off. Okay, Harry Potter fans out there. Bing. There you go. Okay. You can pretend to turn that off that way. So that's nice and easy to set up. Just different routines. You can add a custom one based on location or time as you like. This does do geolocation. There's things like movie mood and party time, of course, which records your music and uses that to pulsate the lights in tandem with everything else. I haven't hooked up any of like the Nest accounts or anything because I actually was using this app for a bulb roundup I did for a client. So that's why this is all set up right now. But, you know, if you just want like an easy smart home controller and you've got all the stuff that people have in their house, you know, all the stuff that you can easily buy at Best Buy, Walmart, and you just want an easy way to control it, this is a good way. And then, you know, create an account. You know, lets you easily explore devices and different cloud brands. So it's nice and easy. It's an easy app that just went white on me. Thanks. There you go. Yeti. It sounds just like the Abominable Snowman, but it's not abominable to use.
That should be their tagline. It's not abominable to use.
And it's free.
Well, right on. Excellent. I just realized you were showing that off, that my post was wrong. So, vote. All right. Sorry. I had to do some behind the... You can see I have two computers here because this little Chrome tab doesn't quite do what I needed to do. That's not a computer, Jason.
You can't really do everything on the Chrome, on the tablet, unfortunately.
Not everything. Almost
not everything. Almost everything. All right. Am I up? That means I'm up.
Go for it.
All right. So sometimes you want to watch internet videos and sometimes you don't want to think about them. And also sometimes you don't really want an algorithm to tell you what you want to watch. You want actual people. So if you're looking to be entertained, to lean back, use your Chromecast that is now 5 years old, you should check out the app that you don't have to think about. It's called Neverthink. And what it is, it's a TV app that is curated by people and organizes videos by topic. So if you look in the navigation there, as Jason's showing, you see the little video player along the top. But then there are all these little cards of different types of videos. So there's if you want to learn something, if they're memes, if you want to laugh. If you scroll down, there's an avocado that says Millennial AF. I don't know what that means. if you're into documentaries, you see there's one that's documentaries. You can go to news. So it's a good balance. It's not just all dumb memes of people getting hit in the crotch. It could actually be the latest news reports or interesting information, celebrity news flow. They've got TV and movies, lifestyle. They've got all these really great curated topics, and you just connect it to Chromecast and sit back and just see what their curation brings, what videos are out there on the internet. I found that I used to do this on YouTube with what was trending or what is popular, and I've increasingly been disappointed by those results. Either they're repetitive or they're not really into it or whatever. I like the idea of this being a curated channel and watching whatever is being rolled on. Like,
is this the ASMR channel?
It's oddly satisfying. It's soap crunching and crushing ASMR. That's oddly satisfying. I don't know. It's cool. It was neat to see a different approach to providing video from the internet. All right, we don't need to do it. Let's not get into the ASMR world.
Oh, sorry. I was getting pulled in. I apologize.
So if there's a particular card that you like, you can press a little the three dot hamburger menu there, and you can move that to the top. So if that's something that you always like, you can see who is curating it. But you can always do that. If there's a particular video you like, you can favorite it. So you can hit the heart there up there, and it will come up again. And then you could also on the bottom hit the hearts to see your favorites. And that way, if you want to revisit all your favorites. And then in the settings, the interface is really nice in that it lets you turn subtitles on or off, adjust the quality, as well as backup and sync devices, which is pretty neat, which is a function I often like with when you've got favorites and things like that. You don't want to keep your data just on the phone, on the app. So Neverthink, an interesting way to approach internet video if you just want to sit back and watch TV, either on your phone or on Chromecast, free in the Google Play Store. Check it out. There you go. Never think. That was the TV of the internet.
That is really cool. Yeah. It's an interesting idea. Interesting approach. I love it. All right. That is Never Think. One word. Ant, you are up next. I have your app installed. I'll show it off while you talk about it.
Well, mine will be short and sweet. It is Storm Radar. And put it frankly, it is a weather app. But it's a weather app that I love using. Especially this time of year here in North Carolina, we have our summertime, but it's humid and we have a bunch of storms. And for me, when it comes to photography, the best time for me to get out and shoot is either right before a storm or right after a storm. And with this app, I can pull it up and look at what's going on in my area and use a little timeline to figure out where's the clouds going to be within the next hour, the next 30 minutes or what have you, and try to plan out safely where I need to be to set up my shoot. And I've been working on trying to do some drone shots to get lightning, and I've been able to get a few here and there just from figuring out what's happening on that map and sending my drone up in the air and hoping it doesn't get shot down, and just going to shoot. And it doesn't cost you anything. It's free. There's a few ads, but I never see the ads. But if you're a weather geek, you probably already know about this app. But again, from a content creation and photography standpoint, there's no better time, well, other than golden hour, whether, you know, in the morning or in the evenings. But if you like shooting landscapes, just go out there and go right before the storm or right after the storm, because you're going to get some amazing cloud cover and the light's going to be just right. And that storm app right there just will help guide you along the way.
I feel bad we don't have any weather to show anybody here.
It's well, the coast always has a little
Carolina.
Bit of...
We've had storms. Just swipe on over to North Carolina.
Yeah, go to the East Coast. What are you doing over here? You're on the wrong coast. We've got nothing going on over here except forest fires.
North.
There you go. North Carolina.
There we go.
We've had storms all week.
And it says it tracks tornadoes and hurricanes as well?
Yep. And you get all of that beautiful detail.
Oh, that must be scary.
Yeah, we had a tornado here yesterday.
Oh.
Right here in my town.
No big deal.
It wasn't too bad. It did sort of just zip through, so it didn't really tear up too much. But, yeah, we're used to it. This is how the summer goes here.
Living
it's extremely hot and humid, but then we get random storms like this, you know, a couple times a week.
I want to see how hot it was earlier. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's at least in this area, not too bad. Right on. This is a well-designed app. It looks really nice. I like the animation aspect of it and how
the Weather Channel
into the future. Yeah. Turns out they know a little something about weather.
Just put some jazz on in the background while this animation.
Right on. That is called Storm Radar.
Storm Radar.
Good pick.
Super simple.
People in chat are excited about that too. And then my app is...
What's your app?
My app is something for those of you who might have a DTV antenna and you're trying to figure out where these stations are. You're trying to find an antenna somewhere out there that carries the channel that you're looking for.
You need this if you have an antenna.
Oh, boy.
Living in San Francisco, I remember this.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got the radius kind of out right now. It's just outside of San Francisco. I guess I could... I'm trying to remember a San Francisco... No, that's... I've lost all... 94111. That is a San Francisco...
Wow, I forgot, too.
There we go.
Awful.
Yeah. I know. So, basically, it'll show you in your radius, and I have a... I wish it gave you a numerical value of what your radius is, but it doesn't. I think this is a new app that came out not too long ago. But you can define your radius, and it'll show you within your radius, which would, I assume, be the reach of whatever your DTV antenna is that you plan to put on your home. Define that radius, and it'll show you where these antennas are placed. And in the Bay Area, much of it is placed in the center of San Francisco, which is really great if you live there.
Wait, is that Sutro Tower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then what we have up here in Petaluma is we have a handful of these. And if I go to the list, kind of shows you what's locally. If I get an antenna very close to me, this is about all I'm going to get on my antenna.
Wow.
Kind of shows you the rough direction of where they are compared to your location. And again, you could set out that radius to know better. Oh, yeah, I know. Everything.
At least.
Everything you need is on PBS.
This is pretty slick.
I imagine that could help in positioning the antenna that you have. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in a particular station stronger than not, you can kind of see the arrow is pointing that way. It's kind of hard to see if I zoom, you know, over the feed, but I can see it's a very tiny arrow pointing in a certain direction. So if I was to use this to kind of try to narrow down the direction where the specific station's antennas are, I could potentially improve my reception of that. I just thought it was a cool kind of visualization of these things, realizing that it's probably not going to help me very much up here in Petaluma. So a bunch of, I think the NBC antenna is down in San Jose.
Yep.
So like you're screwed up here. You're screwed. You're not going to get NBC. It's just probably not going to happen.
It's fine. You're not missing much.
No, it's true. Yeah. I've lived without it for a long time. But anyways, it's a cool little app, very kind of low installs on this. I think, like I said, I think it's a relatively new app.
Helpful utility.
I wish I had that one in San Francisco. I would spend forever trying to position my antenna to get the channels.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah.
One install, as far as I can tell, on the Play Store. So this is a very new app.
Are you the only one who's installed it?
Jason's the beta?
I don't think I'm the only one that installed
the
it.
The alpha.
I just don't think their page is updated yet, but it very well could have gone live today or yesterday.
Well, enjoy TV Towers, everyone.
Yeah.
Debut of a new app.
That's right. Hey.
Go show them some love.
Yeah, you could be the first on the new wave of apps. Like, social media has defined the last 10 years. Maybe the next 10 years will be defined by TV Tower apps. And you will be in the very beginning. You'll be riding the wave from the beginning with this app. You're welcome.
Flo's facial expression was priceless.
Full of doubt, I'm sure. TV Towers is the name of the app. All right, and that is that. If you want to place your vote, don't go where you normally go because I messed it up. Go to instead twit.to/AAVote379. twit.to/AAVote379.
That's AAA yeah. vote 379.
Thank you. Oh, man, I almost missed that
Wait,
detail.
AAA vote 379?
Yes, AAA vote 379.
I get nothing for you to see here.
twit.to/... Not TV.
Yep, twit.to/AAVote379.
I hate this tablet.
Oh, yeah. It went to an...
fine. It's probably going to be something else then.
Well, Jason is setting up that twit.to/AAVote379. This is a good time to let you know to stay tuned to the bonus footage at the end of the show to watch us eat these thin Oreos with green fillings. What flavor is it? Who knows? Stay tuned to the end of the show. You'll find out. The Oreo tastings are going to end soon, people. Let's enjoy them while they last.
Before they become pistachios.
Before they become parfaits.
Okay. Pop-tarts. I think I might be there.
Pineapple.
All right. Now it works. twit.to/AAAVote379. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.
I love the vamp.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Wait, we didn't get to see who Victor is voting for.
Maybe we still get to. Who are you voting for, Victor? What's the big idea here? Never think. Victor wants
engaging content to help distract him from the perils of this world.
Let's be real. That app looked really engaging. It had a lot of fun stuff on it.
Is,
and blinky
is there
colors.
Still a button if you want to see people getting hurt?
What?
Fail TV.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is that one of them?
I was going to say crotch shots, but not, I mean.
Is that one of the sections?
Probably. There's always a fail TV.
I don't know if I'm seeing it yet. It might fall into some of these other ones.
YOLO.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, you lost my vote with that one.
I bet it's in here somewhere.
There you got me.
Fail TV. Should be.
All right, we're done with that. And I think we're done with this show.
Yeah,
And Pruitt, TechRepublic.com, and so many other things. And thank you so much for hopping on tonight. This is a lot of fun. We love having you on.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, man. We have a lot of fun when you're on. Tell people where you want them to find you all over the internet.
Sure. Hop on over to TechRepublic.com. I appreciate them giving me a space to create and publish my findings and musings and whatnot. But also head on over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AntPruitt, and Instagram. Just search for Ant Pruitt. I'm the only one out there.
Right on. That's got to be nice. It makes like securing URLs and usernames that stuff so much easier when
clouds.
You have a name that no one else has. Yeah, that's awesome.
See, you go right after the storm.
Is this a time lapse?
That's a hyperlapse with the drone.
Wow.
That is awesome. Right on. Good stuff, man.
That's why you want weather, because you get gorgeous clouds like that.
I know. There's a lot of detail in those clouds. And thanks again. We'll have you back soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ron, what's up? What's up in your world?
Not much up in my world. You can go to Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO, and Instagram at RonXO on there. Follow me there. I'm going to be, as I mentioned, on vacation this week. I'm going to be at Pittsburgh playing in the world's largest pinball tournament. So more than likely, there'll be some photos on Instagram of pinball machines. So if you're interested in that, follow me there. So there you go.
Been a quiet week because I've been busy with work and life and things like that. In fact, I was exhausted. But follow me and fun stuff happens there. So there
right
you go.
On, man. Cool. Yeah. Best of luck at the pinball tournament.
Thank you. Yes, Pinburg. Yeah. I leave tomorrow.
That sounds fun. Yeah. What about you, Flo?
What about me? Well, you might be knowing that I'm doing this little show called Know How with Megan Maroney. That's right.
I know that.
It's here on the Twit Network. And this week we'll be covering smart assistants. So tune in and watch Megan and I wrestle a bunch of digital assistants because that alone is entertainment.
Oh, that's going to be gold.
It's going to be very interesting because we recorded it last week on Amazon Prime Day. So you can imagine it was not easy. And Megan's the one with the Amazon products. So.
The IoT gods were not smiling upon you that day.
Yeah, we had to do a lot of hugging afterwards. It was really, it was a difficult time.
Well, and just to let you know, Josh is editing that with his speakers on right next to me on the cubicle right next to me, so
it's firing off.
Megan and Flo just cursing, just grumble.
Well, it's not gonna be rough devices. Once the edit's done.
No, you're not gonna even tell.
It's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be really good because I kept forcing Megan to take the shot over and over again so we could get it. But that's the kind of fun we do on Know How. So please tune in. And we've got more stuff coming up, including security systems soon.
Nice.
And if you're curious on reading about security systems now, all my security system reviews are up at Tom's Guide. So fantastic. You can go over there and check those out.
Oh, that's a spooky shot.
Flo's been busy, y'all.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
One of these days you'll this be able good, have though. The chance to calm down a little bit.
It's good. Freelancing is busy and then busy and then what am I doing with my life? And then busy and then
each peak and valley makes you appreciate the other thing.
Precisely.
Victor, thank you for everything. And I promise you next week will be better.
For what it's worth, I found a Sundar, but
oh hey Sundar.
I know you don't
there we go. We should just always have you on speed dial, Sundar. Yeah, don't ever leave us again.
Hey, Sundar, how many words are translated by Google Translate per day?
A
lot.
143 billion.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for answering that question in Ron voice, Sundar. Appreciate it. Really nice of you. Thanks again, Victor. And thanks to Harry from Fort Lauderdale. He's sitting in here watching us live in the studio. We're super thrilled to have him here. It makes us feel special to have people watching live in the studio.
It really does, especially because we're a late nighter and people don't always have to stay for us, which
it goes into that dinner time, that valuable dinner time. So I'm sure you're hungry.
Leave your families.
Get
be
some
with
dinner
us.
Here in a second.
We're all the family you need.
But before we let you get your food, we need to tell you a few other things. I'm here on Twit and yellowgoldmusic.com, but that's not important. What is important is going to this show's show page at twit.tv/AAA. Because that's where you can subscribe to it and find all of the information that we have for this show. Past episodes, the times that we record, which would be Tuesday. Every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find that there. You can find screenshots of last week's episode, as well as the title and the album art. So many things. And that links out to the rest of the Twit site where you can find the same information for all of our other shows. If you want to leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter @AndroidShow. Arena apps list can be found at twit.to/AndroidApps. And I think we covered everything else. So it's just time to say goodbye for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ant, I did not prepare you for this, and I'm sorry.
It's all good. I'm glad to be a part of it one way or another.
You can live vicariously through us.
Somewhat.
You can
depends
be
on if you like them.
Through the power of the internet, you can be as sick of Oreos as we are after almost a year of tasting them every single week. Ron, you're probably less sick of them than Flo and I because you've tasted some of them, but this week you're going to taste along with us.
I've watched a lot of them, so I wouldn't say I'm totally not sick of them, but I'm happy because I get to participate this week.
Good work. Why don't you introduce it? What is it?
So in honor of the upcoming Android P, which is yet to be named but is widely rumored to be a specific P word, we are going to be diving into Oreo Thins pistachio flavored.
Pistachio cream.
Pistachio cream flavored Oreos. And as the box says, always made with real cocoa.
Okay.
And pistachio cream artificially flavored, only 140 calories per four cookies. So that's good to know as well, too. So thin Oreos, flavored pistachio, maybe as foreshadowing of the future version of Android.
Yeah, I was going to say, way to play with our emotions. Wow, those are green.
Yeah, they are. Not the only green Oreos that exist in the world. The mint Oreos are also green.
These are like
a lighter green, though.
They do not smell as overpowering as the strawberry shortcake good humor ones did. But they are green.
Oh! I'm gonna have to ding at a point. That didn't work.
I blame that on the thin. How do we feel? How do we feel about the thin?
Well,
I like the thins. They make me feel, honestly, less guilty.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're designed to do. I think initially I was resistant because the tradition would say that a thin is just like the anti Oreo. But over time, they're okay. It's okay. I think actually over the time that we've eaten so many Oreos and I'm kind of sick of them, now I'm like, cool, thin. This is great. Less to eat. All right. So pistachio Oreo thins. Let's take a bite. Okay.
Ooh.
I'm searching for a defined flavor right now.
Well, no. Here's the thing. At first, I was like, this just tastes like a regular Oreo. Oh. But then did you get it? You got like one or two bites in, all of a sudden this pistachio flavor ignites in your mouth.
And I love pistachio ice cream and pistachio gelato. So I'm actually a fan of the pistachio flavor. And I have to say, these do whet my appetite.
Do they?
Uh-huh.
I'm confused. It's a confusing flavor. It's a confusing flavor for me.
I just had a second one.
Wow.
I'm going in for number two.
Yeah. That was yummy.
I don't know. The flavor's confusing to me. It's like they're two opposing forces, the chocolate and the pistachio.
I need to go get my kombucha.
All right, see you later.
But I like that.
I'm glad I have whiskey because pistachio is not my thing.
That's Android W is going to be great. Let's just say that because every week we'll drink a snifter of whiskey. All right, little hand, yes. You can take it. Make sure
I specifically brought coffee kombucha to have with the Oreos today, so that's why I'm I need to.
Is that generally a good combination, Oreos and kombucha?
Yeah, this is Revive Kombucha. It's one of my new fave brands. It is brewed in Sonoma County, right here in Sonoma County.
Okay.
In Petaluma, right here in Petaluma. This is Petaluma made.
Local. Local flavor.
Nice. Support local. That's what's up.
I'm as familiar as I am with Oreos, I am equally unfamiliar with kombucha.
It's just carbonated beverage and whatever flavors on the... And then sometimes it has gross little bacteria in it.
Yeah, that's
good for your belly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And really helps flow into her 30s.
Okay.
Well, we're not rating kombucha, we're rating Oreos.
That's true. All right, so what do you think, Ron?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Really?
And it's because I'm not down with the thin. If this was a full pistachio, it would be a solid 8, 8.5. But I'm giving a 7 because I want this in full Oreo splendor.
Okay. Flo, you're a pistachio fan.
Yeah, okay. I'd give it like an 8. Like I would buy these and bring them home and eat them at my house.
Okay, so you would actually buy them. I think that qualifies
really like
as a B
pistachio flavor.
Above. Yeah.
I really like pistachio flavor. And with chocolate, that's just my two favorite things, pistachios and chocolate.
But I just don't think those two flavors work together. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead. Would I buy these and bring them home? I wouldn't. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 5.5.
That's unfortunate. I used to make a pistachio mix.
Wow.
I would get the shelled pistachio and mix it in with chocolate chips.
Okay.
And that would be like my little...
That's,
indulgence.
I've just never considered pistachio and chocolate to be complementary flavors, I guess. I don't know. Or have I? Have I ever had a pistachio?
You know, I find people have very interesting relationships with nuts. Yeah. Like, not everybody has a similar relationship with nuts.
It's true. And of all the nuts out there, pistachio is definitely not on my list of, like, I gotta have.
Yeah, I grew up eating the Costco-sized bag of pistachios. Like, it was a family, like, experience. Everyone shelling their own pistachios, tossing them into a communal bowl.
It's like a pistachio party.
It was.
Queen Pruitt's the same way?
Oh, yeah.
Loves pistachios
all the time.
Okay.
I have, every day after work, I open a bag of sweet chili pistachios and I get to cracking.
Scooter X likes pistachio Oreo thins. The thins part didn't bother me. It was just the combination of flavors.
Well, that's okay.
What?
It's your first time.
Oh, and Burke gives it a very big little hand thumb up. So
a very big little hand thumb up. I like that.
Big little hand.
Yeah, we've got a whole row left over here. So
good.
Well played,
going straight into my mouth after the show.
And all right.